Well, good morning still. Hey, it's good to see everybody out here this morning. It's been an honor. As soon as I got here, I got a call from David Sargent and said, hey, we have decided unanimously that we would like for you to be on our staff for the lectureship, and I was very thankful and very honored to do so. It's an awesome introduction to an area, and so just so very thankful for each one of you all trusting in me that I will speak to you for the truth and everything. Whenever David gave me the topic, being one in a broken world, and then he said, I want you to talk to me or talk to us about ministering to the spiritually confused. Now, as what you just heard in my introduction, I'm an advanced emergency medical technician, been doing that for 11 years. He might as well have just said, how do you deal with medical patients? Because dealing with the religiously confused, that is a vast area. You're talking about different situations. You're talking about different type of people. You're talking about as many as there are people in this world. That's how many different situations and different reasons of confusion and things like that is going to be coming up. And so to finally just say that I'm going to tell you one specific way that you can minister to the religiously confused, that is simply impossible. But I did talk with David yesterday about this. And I said that I have decided to sort of use this sort of like a workshop type deal where each individual that comes up to me, this is some things that are going on in my mind, because as an EMT, one thing that is very, very important for us to do is that I'm in the business of trying to narrow down certain reasons of what's going on so that I can then treat those individuals. Just because you say you have chest pain does not necessarily mean I'm going to treat you the same way as the person over here that's playing a chest pain. Different things are going on. And I've got to, and I'll be showing you a little bit later on in this lesson some things, sort of like the way we think and things that we are trained to do. Whenever you think about ministering to the religiously confused, this is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're talking here verses 11 through verse number 16, where he says there, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch this, in verse number 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 is the key verse. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, but grow up in all things into Him who is the head, being Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. When you look at verse number 14, we have some confusion that is going on among everybody. And the whole point of the matter is we have got to nail down the reason for our confusions and be able to come, as what he just said, verse number 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to what? A perfect man. That word perfect is not talking about perfection, talking about sinless. He's talking there about completion. Now, if we are going to come together as a body of Christ, now notice this, whenever we're talking about the spiritually confused, we're not talking about denominational people out here. This is talking about the church. Now, each one of us can easily be confused no matter what the situation is. There might be situations that arise in our lives that for some odd reason all of a sudden throws a wrench in the mix. There could be things that come up in life. It may be a marital situation that comes up. With some additional learning and scripture and things that all of a sudden you might find out that they're not able to be married now. These are some big wrenches. And then the next step that they come to is they come to the preacher and go, what do I need to do? Right? You're talking about a situation that is a life changer. Now, some of these confusions are some big wrenches. But the thing is, as we're going to be taking a look throughout the rest of this lesson, in this situation of being religiously confused, this covers everything from different thoughts about doctrinal matters, even going to philosophy all the way to just being confused over the simple, difficult things that's mentioned in Scripture. But depending on the situation, it's going to determine how and what steps you're going to use in order to try to help these individuals to minister to them in their spiritual confusion. Now, this right here, I know that the majority of us in here are preachers and elders, older individuals who are helping the congregation of the Lord's church, trying to help out in any facet that you can possibly do. So I hope this lesson right here will be very helpful in just giving you some guidelines, some things that the way that I think whenever people come to me asking a question, and I'm not talking about simple little, hey, what does the Bible say about this? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, hey, I know the Bible says this, but I've got a situation, or I'm confused. How do you mix this Scripture with this Scripture? How do you do this and this? We're talking about plain out confusion. I'm not talking about the simple questions that can easily be answered just like that. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about situations of being spiritually confused. What you see on the screen right now in the Emergency Medical Service, we're trained by algorithms. Now, what you see on here is an individual who has chest pain, and what you see here are numerous different steps that you see numerous things. How many of us have ever ridden an ambulance before? Or have been around the hospital where you have medical personnel that are talking to the individual, might even be you or whatever, and they continue to ask these numerous annoying questions. Right? There's a reason for that. Because guess what? The answers that you're going to give us is going to determine what our treatment is going to be for you and what's actually going on the inside. Because guess what? In the back of an ambulance, we don't have CT machines. We don't have x-ray machines. We don't have all these other things. All that we are running off of what
you're telling us.
All right? There's a reason why we ask a question, then we ask another question on top of that one. And if that's yes, we ask another question on that. If that's no, then we go to another route. Spiritually speaking, whenever we're talking here about the spiritually confused, this is the type of mindset we need to start having. Okay? If we want to properly help individuals who are simply confused, we need to then be asking questions to try to nail down some things to help you to know which step you're going to be using next. Now, when you think about number one, we've got to do first things first. We've got to know what is the situation. All right? Now, in doing this, you're going to be asking the simple question, why are they confused? Some important things to really, really consider. How long have they been a member? Now, how would this, in a short answer, how would this affect their confusion? How would this affect their confusion? If they are early stages in infancy of being a Christian, confusion is more than likely going to be there, right? Then you have also these individuals that have been in the church for many, many years, and they have been stable in all of their faith and everything of that nature, but all of a sudden, now something has happened, now they're confused. Now, with that being said, the age of their Christianity is going to determine how you're going to be approaching this individual. All right? There are some things you're going to remember, like with a person who's been longer in the church, hey, okay, you remember how this right here fits with this? Remember this, 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 this? Okay, now look at it from that perspective and then look over here. All right? A babe in Christ is not going to be able to do that really well. And so that's something that's very, very important to understand. Is there a sudden situation in their life that has arisen that has caused them to be confused? Like I was saying, there might be a situation of where now either themselves or somebody else, maybe they might have had a situation of a marriage situation, or it might be an unplanned pregnancy. That throws a wrench into the mix. You all of a sudden get thrown into different situations in life that all of a sudden they thought they were stable. All of a sudden life happens. And that's exactly how I define it. Life happens. It's not when it's going to, or if it's going to happen, it's going to be when it happens. Life happens to all of us. And depending on the situation, depending on who you are and how your faith is going to determine how you're going to react to that. We had it was really, really hard for us, personally speaking. Back in 2013, my wife went into preterm labor. And our baby came at 24 weeks, lived 2 weeks in the NICU and died. That was hard. And I'm telling you, if I was not having my source where it needed to be, it would have been so easy just to give up. But the source of faith and things of that nature is what helped me to get through that. Scripture helped me to get through that. I finally came to grips that things happen in life and it's just God making me who He wants me to be. Be able to reach out to individuals, allowing things to happen. And that's what God does with each one of us. We have to come to grips with certain things in life, but when those things of life happen, you need to know how to handle it. And in those type of situations, people are leaning on us as preachers and as elders and as fellow members of the body of Christ to help them get through that, to help them find their way, because it seems like their light all of a sudden, what, can't use this morning, all of a sudden that light just burnt out. Now they're in the dark. Now what am I going to do? And that's where we ourselves, being the light, is going to be coming in and trying to help out in those situations. Right? So, what type of family life do they have? Will this affect anything? Or can this affect anything? If you look at their spouse or their children and you see the situation that they're in, it can easily affect the way they think. And so you've got to keep all that into consideration in order to guide them in the right, proper way. These prerequisite questions will help you in understanding the individual and the reason for the confusion. Now, going a little bit further with this. Some important questions to ask yourself. Now, this is something that you're not just going to come out and just say, hey, what's your deal? Right? You ain't going to do that. But whenever they come to you and they're asking you for advice and things, just some things be rolling in your mind. Have they just not considered certain things? Because sometimes that can be the case. Maybe they have looked at one particular passage but haven't looked at everything altogether. And maybe it might be just that one little thing that you might have to bring up to their thought that's going to change everything and make it all just clear. Whenever you think about that, have they simply just stopped reading or studying? Have they been influenced by others or false doctrines? Have they not wanting, or are they not wanting to see the truth? Are they attempting to fit the Bible to themselves? How many of us know individuals like that? They believe that the Bible needs to fit them, not them fit the Bible. So it's something that you've got to start trying to look at everything in a perspective of everything around. Are they not grounded in the truth? Because I promise you, this will be a game changer. Whenever you finally see that they're simply not grounded in the truth, you know where to start. Right? You know exactly the first step you need to do. Okay, now let's make yourself a foundation and we'll build off of that. Okay? Is this going to be something that's going to be taking place and fixed and changed and resolved all in one little 30-minute session? Yes or no? More than likely, no. It's not. So it's going to be a continual Bible study and things like that to help them out in their own life. No single source of authority. Whenever they start thinking that feelings are their guide or their thoughts are their guide, how many of us have ever heard of this phrase? I know that's what the Bible says, but. Right? You know what the word but means, right? The word but simply means forget everything that I just said before. Now I want you to understand and focus on what I'm about to say now. That's not the way it happens, right? That in a Christian's mind, in a Christian's wordage, it should never come out like that. I know what the Bible says, but no, if the Bible says it, that's what we need to be going by, okay? So it's important to figure this out because the answer will determine the route that you need to be taking. Now, another question you need to ask is, what are they trying to do? What are they trying to do? Is there an agenda causing the confusion? Now, whenever, I know I've been preaching for 10 years, and just some of the accounts that I've personally experienced and things of that nature, sometimes there are agendas of where they're trying to feed their own desires. They're going to the preacher where they're trying to hear what they want to hear type situation. And they will continue to search after preacher after preacher after preacher until they finally hear what they want to hear.
Now, is there an agenda behind that? Yes, there is. Just for instance, are they trying to justify themselves or someone else that's bringing about this confusion? Because simply it is the case that according to Ephesians 3 verse 4, we can understand what Paul's writing, right? So because of that, what's making it so hard for them to accept it, right? I know that we've had some great lessons during this whole little lectureship, and some of them have actually mentioned that it's one of those things that sometimes it's hard for us to accept. You were talking about that this morning. What's so hard about it? It's just like what our Lord actually said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Have you not read? I mean, can we not read those verses that really just set us off? Right? Throw that big wrench into the mix? Well, what's the purpose? Number two, what are they trying to find, or are they trying to find a loophole that will and I'm going to put these in parentheses, release them from a specific command situation or an order given by God? There are individuals that are out here, FYI, that are trying to find the least that they can possibly do for Christ. And so guess what? They're going to try to say, well, hold on a second. I know the situation itself, myself, that an individual has come to me and they say, well, I can't do that because we don't have elders. Really? So can you sing in service because you don't have elders? Can you have preaching in the pulpit because you don't have elders? A command is a command no matter what, right? But people are trying to excuse their way out of responsibilities, and we've got to be very, very cautious about how we deal with those individuals because we've got to come back down to the simple source of authority. And that's one of the things we're going to be taking a look at here in just a second. We must attempt to figure out their reason, to focus on the heart of the matter, because the end result of all of these things, we want it to be positive, and we also want to be productive, right? That's what our whole entire goal is. We are to be in such a way, when somebody comes to us, they need to be able to leave saying that I have profited something by being in your presence and going to you, right? Because if they come to us and we don't have anything at all profitable that they can leave with, did they just waste their time? Sure they do. And so that's something that we need to be taking key point with. How did they get to this point? Whenever you think about trying to deal with the situation, trying to establish how they got to this point will also help us to know the exact point where they derailed. Like, for instance, we need to take the point that they derailed and then go back in reverse. Now, I think it's interesting how whenever you start reading like through the book of Hebrews and things of that nature, how does the writers, even Paul himself, how do the writers try to get them back on track? He continued to go back to where they were faithful and say, I want you to continue going back. Go back. Go back. And I want you to stay there. Especially in the book of Hebrews, the Jews that have become converted and now going back to Judaism. He says, I want you to remember how you first obeyed, and I want you to start from there and continue going on in that same direction. Right? This is the whole thought process. If you can figure out where they derailed, start at that particular point and go back in reverse. Okay? So you think about this. Always going back and understanding that, hey, they believed at the beginning, right? We're talking about Christians here. They believed at the beginning. They obeyed the gospel. They were able to understand everything at that particular point of what they needed to know. They believed. They obeyed. Now they were faithful for some time. Well, did they stop searching? Did they allow thoughts to overpower knowledge? Were they being persuaded by others or doctrines? Have they just simply just stopped testing anymore according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1? What was the point? At what point in time did they actually step off from the way? Because they were once on it. Now we need to get it back on it. Okay? So very, very important things to be considering here. Always reiterate the good that they were doing when they were strong in the Lord and encourage them to go back to that. Brother Cliff Goodwin at PTP 2 years ago did a lesson on the literary persuasion of the book of Philemon. And what he did is he broke down his letter and started showing here how he used persuasion in writing to get Philemon to the point of where he would accept Onesimus back. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And he started looking here how he continued to build that relationship. He said, I want you to remember how I was whenever I was with you. I want you to now listen. I had the opportunity to keep Onesimus with me, but now it's not my place. I'm going to send him back to you. Treat him like a brother. Remember how you are. This is not just a slave now. This is a brother now. So treat him in that way. The way that he persuaded Philemon and all that, it's some things that we can easily learn from ourselves as ministers and those who are trying to reach out to those who are spiritually confused. Take some of those tactics that Paul used, and it's going to be very, very effective methods as well. Some very important keys that we need to be looking at in reference to trying to guide these spiritually confused. When somebody comes to you, be in the spirit of humility. Be humble with it. Don't ever come off with saying, hey, I know more than you do. I am better than you. Are you kidding me? Now, one thing that I have really learned in this, something that they taught us in preaching school, and it's something that, and it's nothing to be of a slanderous type statement, but never underestimate the ignorance of the brethren. Now, what does that mean? It may seem like an off-the-wall, obvious question to answer, but it could simply be the case they just don't know the answer. So be very, very humble with this. Remember there in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Be humble with it. And then the word meekness is simply strength under control. All right? It's nothing of a weak nature. It's not a weak word. Our Lord was meek. So does that mean that our Lord was very weak? Oh, no. Oh. You want to talk about the one who had the most control possible. This is what you're talking about. One who has strength, but is under control. But he also goes on to say, in the spirit of meekness, considering also yourself, lest you also be tempted. When somebody is coming to you with a spiritual confusion situation, you need to remember you are as acceptable to that type of a situation as anyone else. So don't ever think that you're better than them. Okay? Whenever you think about number two, build the personal relationship. When an individual is really needing to have some answers to life, they're going to accept a whole lot more of what you're about to try to help them do if you build that relationship with them. Don't allow them to separate yourself from them saying, hey, I'm the preacher or I'm the elder and you're the member. All right? No. Build that relationship with them. Hey, listen, I'm no different than you. I'm man as well. Let me help you with this. All right? Try to build that attitude with them. Build that relationship up as well. There's a reason why whenever you start looking back into evangelism, there's a side of it where we call personal evangelism. If you go to somebody and you say, hey, I want to teach you the gospel, more than likely, what is the reaction going to be? It's going to be exactly just that. Who is this guy? Right? You build that relationship with that individual. You don't necessarily have to even bring up Bible the very first time you all ever meet. Build that bond with them. Build that relationship with them to the point of where now you are buddy-buddy. Now, whenever you're buddy-buddy, you build that relationship with them. You're doing things together. All of a sudden, start creeping the Bible in. You got to get personal with them. They're going to accept things a whole lot more coming from a friend rather than a stranger who's saying, you're lost, I'm saved, and you need to be where I'm at. Okay? That type of mentality. That's the way they look at it. Make very clear the common ground of being confused before. How many of us have ever been confused? How many of us during our studies for sermons and things of that nature just tried to meet up with certain type of scriptures, seeing how they correlate, and just having a really, really hard time trying to correlate those verses? Right? I know it says this over here, but I also know it says this over here. I know the Bible's not wrong, so what's wrong? The way I interpret it, right? My view of my perception is being off. So with that being in mind, tell them, and reiterate to them, hey, I've been in your shoes before. I know exactly what you're going through. I'm going to try to take the same steps as I took to help myself out. I'm going to try to help you out as well. All right? Come at it with a positive type attitude. Don't pretend to know the material or the subject if you simply do not know the material or the subject. All right? Don't pretend. Because guess what? Will they notice that pretty fast? Yes. Now, if you start throwing out answers that you've never studied before and everything like that, let me ask you this. We are dealing with the souls of mankind here. All right? You're talking about their spiritual guidance. You're talking about the destination guiding to eternal destiny, either to heaven or to hell, right? If somebody is simply confused and they come to you with that type of question, don't pretend you know the answer. Because you know what that's telling them? And you're telling yourself as well, hey, as quick as I can possibly get them off my back, be the better. Right? So, in all reality, you're saying they're not worth my time. It's not even worth the study. We've got to be very keen on that. Define terms. How many of us have ever studied with individuals and it was all resolved because they had a misdefinition of a term? Been there, done that? A lot of confusion can simply be totally corrected by simply having the right definition for the terms. If I mention the word faith, the word faith to me is something that's based upon evidence, something that can be proven with an expectation wrapped along with it, right? Things that you can be assured of. It's interesting, though, you go out here in the religious world and you mention the word faith, what does it say to them? Oh, you're talking about that belief that saves. Yes, that's a little bit what I'm talking about. But they also believe that faith is also a leap in the dark. That's the way they see that term. If we define our terms while we're going through this, how many of us have ever heard of a debate, a spiritual debate? Have you ever read books on debates and things of that nature? One of the very key things about debating is making sure you define your terms so that everybody's on the same page. That's as important in a spiritual discussion with an individual who is simply confused. Instill the possibility of understanding what is being studied. I already mentioned this, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, where he says that when you read, you may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. All right? It is a possibility for us to read the Scriptures and understand what is being said. Because how many times do you have people in the religious world that believe, well, guess what? This book can mean one thing to you, it can mean one thing to me, it can mean one thing to them. But we're all going to go to heaven just in different ways. You ever heard that before? That's not the case. That is not the case at all. So, when you think about understanding and instilling the understanding that we can know if we simply study. We need to establish foundation if needed. Now, what we're talking about here are the three pillars of Christianity. Proving that there is a God. Proving that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And instilling that Jesus was a real man and was who He said He was. Now, with that foundation, now you are then able to build upon that. Now, sometimes there are individuals that simply just don't have a foundation, and that's where you need to start. So that's very, very important to understand. What time do I have till?
4 minutes.
Oh, dear. All right. Establish authority. Always use logic. Okay? Always use logic. Because logic is something that is, if you use just the simplest thoughts, simplest terms, even using what we call syllogisms, where it's three-line sentences, two different sentences stating facts, and the third that intermingle with the both of them that has to be true. Use logic in that sense. Establish there is only one way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10. That you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be in the same mind, the same judgment. There is only one way. You have got to reiterate that. Establish absolute truth. Truth does not change depending on the situation or the individual. Truth is absolute. Draw it out if possible. I'm a very illustrative individual. If I can write things up or if I can make a presentation on it, I will do so because I'm a firm believer. If you can see it, hear it, and read it,
guess what?
It'll stick. All right? Be honest with yourself and God and not change the truth for the individual. It doesn't matter if it's your friend or your family member or whoever. The truth is truth. So be honest with yourself as well as to others. And understand this, we are not going to convert everyone out of their confusion. We're just not going to do that. You can only help those individuals who want to help themselves. Whenever you think about point number three in the last 3 minutes, key verses to remember. Whenever you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, you have there where he said that I could not speak to you as unto spiritual people, but as to carnal. Understand that if a person is not spiritually minded, there are just some things they're not going to accept. And so you can speak to your blue in the face of these individuals, they simply just will not accept it. Whenever you think about Romans chapter 14, verse number 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but do not dispute over the doubtful things. If it is, did Adam have a belly button? Does it really matter? No. So don't be chasing your tail and everything of that nature, wasting your time. Whenever you... Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14, talking about milk and solid food. You need to really establish, are they young in the faith or are they strong in the faith? If that be the case, it's going to feed off the way you're going to be handling those situations. Don't choke a babe out. Alright? Don't be getting into this meat type stuff if they're not able to handle it. You're just going to kill them. Okay? Whenever you think about this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20, Paul told Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of which falsely, what is falsely called knowledge. In the King James Version, he used the word philosophy. Do not get yourself caught up in that. Because if you do, guess what's going to happen? You have just changed yourself from the authority of the Bible to now man's thinking. Now you've come on their ground. That's always going to be bad. All right? Also, John 8, verse 31, 32, if we want to truly be a disciple of Christ, brethren, we have got to stick in the book. You've got to stick in the book. Don't be distracted by the ways of thinking of man and things of that nature. You've got to be using the book. So by way of conclusion, we can only help those who want to be helped. And if we stay faithful to God, then we truly can help those who are spiritually confused, who are really searching. All right? So that comes down to you. Individually and me individually. Make sure that we are bringing something that is profitable to them and not trying to enable them in their confusion. Don't say, you know what, I see your point and I can see where you get that, so you can just go ahead and just believe that. Don't do that. You're not helping them at all. You're enabling their confusion. Also, understand, we are not going to influence everyone to the truth. So because of that, keep your heads up. We can only do what we can do. Okay? So I hope this lesson has profited, been very profitable for you. I know it's been more of a workshop rather than, it's just like what I said at the very beginning. Given the subject of how do you deal with spiritually confused individuals, what part? What part? So this is what's going on in my mind, and I wanted to bring some things out for you as well that might help you in your ministry and helping others as well. So thank you all for your time. Really do appreciate the invitation.